Okay, Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to read the first chapter, and then we'll get into our lesson. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man to his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us. What is in thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the sea, and wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hath done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do stop today. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that illuminates your word to us. And Father, Lord, I pray now you'd speak to our hearts as we look at thy word this morning. Lord, I pray you give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. And Lord, I just pray thy will be done in each life today. I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Just kind of a brief overview of the book of Jonah. I've been doing a personal study of the book of Jonah the last couple of weeks. Just some things. Number one, about the book. It's the 32nd book of the Bible. It has four chapters. It has 48 verses, so that's about the book, and then the penman with the penman is Jonah. Of course, we know that God's the author, but the Lord chose to use Jonah as a penman. His name means dove, and he's from the tribe of Geth Hefer, and we know that the date of Jonah is approximately around 770 BC. The key verse, if you look at Jonah 2:9, is the key word. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, the key verse. We see, But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is the Lord. So we see the key verses there, salvation of the Lord. And then some key words. The word down is used four times. We're going to see them in a little bit. The word great is found eight times. And then the word is go is found ten times. We see that the theme is salvation. With salvation of the Lord, and as I begin to think of these things, I begin to think of the rebellion of Jonah here, the rebellion, and I want to look at first of all, we see that rebellion is a road of disobedience. obedience. If you would go back to Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, we see that now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. So we see that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And then verse 2, we saw the call in verse 1. We see number 2, commission in verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it. So we told that he's to arise, to go, and to cry. So we see his call, we see his commission. And then back at verse 2 also, we see the city of Nineveh. And I went and looked at some things up about the city of Nineveh. They not only was it a very wicked city, but they were a very mean city. Whenever they go into place, they would conquer a place, they would murder the children first in front of the parents, and then they would murder their parents after that. When they went to conquer a city, they also would skin people alive. They'd put them on poles outside the city. They would dig like a hole, and they would put them in the ground, and they would cover everything up to the neck, and they would leave them there to die. And there's other things that they would do to the people that is just, is very wicked, very, very mean, and very, very cruel. And then toward the end of the reign, many times, if they would attack a city to conquer it, the people there would just commit suicide at time of surrender. Because they did not want to live and to face the consequences of having the people of Nineveh there over them, and they were the arch enemies of Israel. So here is Jonah, a man with a call and a commission. He's told to go to people that have persecuted and been arch enemies of Israel for a long time. It's very likely that Jonah knew people that Nineveh had attacked and destroyed. They were a very wicked people. And then we see in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish. He had a call, a commission. He had a place to, he had a city to go to. We see that, but he rejected the call. There's some people that said that he rejected the call because of racism, because of how mean the people had been to his people. There are some people who said that he did not go because of fear. So here you have a man of God that's called, commissioned, and told to go to a people who had been very mean to his people. He's told to arise, and the call. When the time came, he chose the road of disobedience. I begin to think, Lord, what can I learn from these couple of verses here? If you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. So what can I learn from the first three verses of Jonah? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Now turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, says this: Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am there with you even unto the end of the world. Just as Jonah was called, so we are called. Just as Jonah had a message, we have a message as well. And many times, I'm afraid, in our lives, many times, we're called and we're commissioned, but we like Jonah, arise and we go the other way. In our lives, I believe that we're at a point in our country where it's going to get bad. Things might not be the way they, you know, they keep saying, well, there's a new norm. Well, if the new norm, it's abnormal. If it's a new norm, it's not normal. And the state, and the pastor has been preaching on the end times. If we aren't obeying the call of God now, what will we do when times get rough? What will we do when times get rough? Jonah here faced a hard decision. And I can't imagine the decision he faced. But yet he had the call. He was commissioned. He was told the city to go to. And instead of obeying the voice of God, he chose to disobey and go the other directions. We're to glorify God in our bodies, in our spirits. Young people, those of you just starting out in life, why are you not serving God? Why do we hold back? And kind of like Jonah, we arise and we go, but we go the wrong direction in life. Adults, how about us? Are we really doing what we should be doing for God? We're all called to go, to be witnesses. We're all called to glorify God in our lives. And we all have reasons why we don't do it, but there's no reason that's acceptable. We're going to see here next, with the disappointments on the road. But my thought this morning is this: Am I Rick Salee? Am I obeying the voice of God? Jonah heard the voice; he listened to it, but he chose to not take heed to it. In our lives today, are we listening to the voice of God? So we see number one, the road of disobedience, and then number two, look at the road of disappointments. If you go ahead and turn back to the book of Jonah again, in the middle part of verse 3, we saw some of the disappointments that come along the life of Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 3, in the middle verse, says, "And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof." So we see number one, that he paid his own way. So we see that he paid his own way. Then it says, the next part says, so he paid the fare thereof and went down. We see he paid the way, and then we see that he started a path that went downward. Look at verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship to lighten them. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship. So we would see that he'd gone down. Look at chapter 2 in verse 6. Chapter 2 in verse 6 said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. He's in the building. Well, I went down to the bottoms of the mountain, and the earth was with her bars was about me forever. So we see he paced on way. We see he began a path that was downward, and then look at chapter 1 verse 8, we see that the pagans didn't see him as a prophet. Chapter 1 and verse 8, then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. What is an occupation?" So they didn't even know what he was. In verse 10, then were the people exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why has thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord." So we hear that they didn't know who he was, until he told them. You know, and I begin to think in our life, whenever we run from the Lord, it's always a downward path. It's a downward path. It goes down, and then it goes down, and then it goes down. And then, like the prodigal son, get down to the end. And fortunately, like the prodigal son, Jonah, he came to himself there at the end. But my question for today simply is this. Does my life typify Jonah chapter 1? Young people, arise, go, cry aloud. Go where God wants you to go. Have you stopped to consider God's plan for your life? You're young. You got your whole life ahead of you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're not going according to God's plan, your life will be full of disappointments. It'll be a path downward. A path when you're at the end, you wonder, how did I get here? I can imagine Jonah there in the whale waking up. How did this happen? How did I get here? He paid a very high price. First of all, I want to challenge our young people. If you've not yet stopped and said, Lord, I know what I want for my life, but what do you want? And listen to the voice of the Lord. We saw in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. The Lord wants to speak to you. He wants to give you clear direction for your life. He wants you to know those things. But are we so busy with life that we don't want to stop and listen to the voice of the Lord? And when the Lord does call you, we have all kinds of excuses why we don't want to serve the Lord. But yet we learn from the life of Jonah that any excuse that I have is not near as bad as what the disappointments of life will be if I don't serve the Lord. Whether it's fear, whatever. I know you guys haven't noticed yet, but I stutter. For a while, I struggled with that. Even some adults at Gadsdale said, you can't preach, you stutter. I struggled with that call for a while. But then one day I heard the voice of the Lord. He said, I called thee, I formed thee. I know who you are. Whatever thing we have that we're not surrendering to God, we have a choice to make. What will you choose? Will you choose to listen to the voice of the Lord and arise and go in the direction he wants you to go? Or will, like Jonah, you arise and you'll go, but not the direction he has planned for your life? It might be good for a while. Jonah went down. Then Jonah went down. Then Jonah went way down. And that's where the road of rebellion against God goes. There's tons of folks that I've met the last 8 years down in the Elmwood area. They made choices along the way. Their choices took them down, then down, then down. And many have committed suicide. It's a downward path. It's full of disappointments. So today I encourage you, young people, stop. If you've not yet said, God, speak to me about what you want for my life, do so today. Then adults, speaking to us as well. Am I listening to the voice of God? Am I doing what God says? Or have I got so busy with my... I think that Jonah here was so influenced by what he knew about the people. He knew that God was merciful. He said over chapter 4, I think verse 9, that he knew that God was merciful and God would save them if they turned to him. But he was so influenced by his culture around him that he allowed his culture to determine his direction for life more than he did God allow him to determine his direction for life. But also, we're on our road. Some of us are toward the end of the road. Some of us are in the middle of the road. And some are just starting down the road. But have I stopped to take time to check my life, make sure I'm on the right road? We're all called. We're all commissioned, and we all are to go. This morning, which road are we on? Are we on the pathway of obedience? Are we running away from God? Are we listening for God to speak to my heart, speak to my life? I was talking to Harrison a while ago, and we saw, he's telling me about, things are bad here, but they're nothing compared to Mexico. And things in Mexico are nothing what it is compared to in other parts of the world. But yet, we're going to see some rough days. Jonah had to learn the hard way that he would stop and listen to the Lord. And then look at verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I'm thankful the Lord, even his chastisement, is gracious. He didn't have to prepare that fish. He could have done away with Jonah and called another person. But he wanted Jonah. He wanted him to go. So I'm thankful today for the mercy of God. But even his mercy, chastisement hurts. Today, let's not follow the path of Jonah. Let's follow the path of obedience. Then another thought I had of verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon the innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth in the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then, after they had tossed him overboard, then the men feared the Lord. Are the people around us that we are hindering for the cause of Christ? There are folks today that are watching us to make sure that we're serving the Lord. They're watching us. In conclusion, walk here real quick. In conclusion, in Jonah chapter 1, we see a man called and commissioned who didn't go. We see the path downward. We see where he ended up at. In our lives today, are we on the path downward? Young people, adults, let's step back and look at our lives. Say, am I on the step downward? It's a slippery slope. Once you start down, it's a slippery slope. There's been a lot of people through Kazadil come through the years. They came and they're here for a while, and then they start missing this or missing that, and then they start missing this or that. And you can begin to watch on the outside what's happening on the inside, because it's a slippery slope. I want to warn all of us tonight, this morning, if we're not careful, Lincoln paper real quick. I got to use it one last time of the morning for old time's sake. Here's my wife. What? It's a slippery slope. And the devil wants to push us away from the things of God. And when he pushes, fight back, you sissy Christian. Yeah, when he begins to push, what? And resist. But sometimes, if I give a bit, and then for long, there's less resistance. Why? You're going backwards. Thank you. In our lives today, resist. Stand up to the devil. Stand up to the devil. Because if we begin to give in, it's a slippery slope. A quote I've said, I don't know how many times, I heard when I was a kid. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. I can give you tons of examples of that from Kazadil, from down at Hope. Not just Hope, Kazadil as well. people that used to serve. I mean, I can't say his name, but the older folks know who I'm talking about. There was a young man here. He's called to preach, and he preaches because I know we go street preaching. He now go hand out tracts, and man, you know, he's on fire for the Lord. You know, he was doing great. And I'm convinced the Lord had great things in store for his life, and he was a good preacher boy. He was a great preacher boy, but one day he just got a little bit tired of being the preacher boy. To be the one that got laughed at and mocked at school. And he began to let the guard down a little bit. And before you know it, he's out drinking and smoking and cussing. I met one of his girls the other day down at Precious, down in Hartwell. She was a waitress there. I was talking to her, and I could see her dad in her, and I thought, oh, what a terrible result. What a downward progression from where he was as a 17-year-old young man of fire for the Lord to his family now. I love them, but they're a mess. I talked to his ex-wife this past week on Facebook. She had a question on Facebook for me, and I thought, what a tragedy. What happened? Down, 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 and down. Why the illustration? To warn you young people, you might think that you have things under control, but I promise you this, if you're on the way down, it gets easier and easier to go down. And what's sad, I talked to the same guy 2 weeks ago. He has no desire to come back. He's just so hard and so callous. And I know that God used him in a great and mighty way. He was street preaching out of Loveland, and I was there to hand out tracts. He's the one preaching. But we went back the next week, and there's some girl that was waiting on us. She said, I've been waiting all week long to get saved. She said, show me how to get saved. God used him. Now, he could care less. What happened? Downward path. If you're 20 and younger, can you stand up? Come on, that's not me for a while. I want to warn you. Please listen. If you're not careful, you'll be where that young man is, or that old man now. You'll be where he is in 50 years. It's a slippery path down. Decide now to not take the road of rebellion away from God. Don't give an inch. Don't give a bit. Say, God, what do you want? And then you follow God and do what's right. And you allow God to take care of things. Whatever your reason not to serve God is not worth it. Whatever your reason, it is not worth it. I challenge you today, all of you, say, God, I want to serve you with all my heart. I don't want to be a Jonah. Everybody look this way. I don't want to be a Jonah. I don't want to go down before I come up. Don't give the devil an answer. Thank you. You can sit down. Adults, my challenge to us is this. Been a lot of mature Christians over the years that toward their, I'd say the late part of life, but as they grew in the Lord, after a while they kind of got tired of always, you know, it becomes more of a ritual. And they get so busy in the ritual of what we do, they lost track. It's all about him. So that they come Sunday morning, they come Sunday night, they come, on the visitation night, they come on Thursday night, all the activities. And after a while, they're here, but they're not here. They've lost that relationship with the Lord. It's a slippery slope. My greatest fear in life, well, now, when I was younger, one of my greatest fears in life is this, that I become a castaway, that I'd be like a Jonah at the end and get callous and cold. But I know in my life, if I give him an inch, If I give the devil an inch, it's easier to slide away. We all probably know of preachers that have served God most of their lives, and they get older. As they get older, they begin to give here. And before long, they've gone down, and then they bottom out. Let's not be that. Let's learn from Jonah. Let's obey God to start with. Let's don't go have to go down to the bottom. Let's don't be like the prodigal son that have to go to the pig pen. He came back, but he'd already spent his inheritance. It was gone. He'd already lost his inheritance. He didn't get it. You might come back when you're older. Last illustration, I'm done. Bob Sims. In church, as a younger man, family was in church. He's probably watching this morning. He got out of church, get hard, lost his family. But 8 years ago, he came to the mission. Come in. Got right with God. A lot of scars. He told me on the phone, last week, he said, I wish I could go back. If I could go back and do it all over again, I would. But I can't. Now he sits in his apartment. His health is shot. He sits right from the air conditioner with cold air, the cold air in his face, with oxygen on, because he can't breathe. Years of hard living. Down. He's going to try to come to church today. If he does, he'll sit on the right side by the air conditioning. By air conditioned vent. I'll try to section on super cold. It's not cold here. I'll try super cold when he walks in. So why he can breathe. And then we'll carry his oxygen out to his truck for him. Then he'd go back home. Be careful. Down. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I do thank you.